Hello, and welcome to the Glossy Beauty Podcast, our weekly show where we discuss the future of the beauty and wellness industries with the people who know them best. I'm your host, Priya Rao, beauty editor at Glossy, and today's guest is the Bobbi Brown. In this episode, I talked to Bobbi about her origin story in creating the no-makeup makeup look without even realizing it, why 2016 was high time to leave Estee Lauder companies, and what her pivot to wellness is really about. Today on the Glossy Beauty Podcast, we have Bobbi Brown, the CEO of Beauty Evolution and founder of Bobbi Brown Cosmetics. Welcome, Bobbi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So, Bobbi, if people didn't know your name, tell us a little bit about your history in the beauty business. How did you kind of first find your way in this kind of wild, wild west?
Well, it wasn't the wild west. It really just was uncharted, you know, woods back then. I was a freelance makeup artist. I graduated college with a degree in theatrical makeup. I moved to New York looking for my career and a job, and there were no jobs. So I just started freelancing, and I started working for magazines. It was not easy, and it was not quick, but it was exactly what I wanted to do, to be a makeup artist for magazines. So I did that, and my dream was to have a Vogue cover. Took me 7 years, and I had my first Vogue cover.
What year was that?
Could have been 89. It was a cover of Vogue September, Naomi Campbell.
Big time.
Patrick Demarchelier shot it. It was really big time.
So along the way, Bobbi, I mean, obviously you built up this roster of clients, this roster of work. When did you think that, you know, you had something different to offer from other makeup artists in the market and that could potentially be a brand?
Well, I never thought that I could be a brand. I never thought I wanted to be a brand. I never thought I would have a company or even want a company. But I'm someone that just kind of sees what's happening and I try things and it evolves. So it really has a lot to do with lifestyle. I met the man of my dreams, got engaged, moved to the suburbs of New Jersey, which was did not happen back then. And I was still a working makeup artist. I got pregnant, and I just didn't want to travel anymore. Most of my work for the magazines or advertising was, you know, really exotic places. I didn't want to go. And I had an idea for a lipstick that looked like lips. Because back then, there was no makeup on the market that matched people's skin. There was no blush that you didn't have to blend. There was no eyeshadow that you could just apply. And I thought that, you know, I could certainly make a lipstick that looked like people's lips. I didn't think I was going to have a brand. I met a chemist, and I thought, wow, people might want to buy this. And I started selling it for $15. The chemist and I split the money. We each got $7.50. And I figured out that everyone has different color lips, and I literally started making these colors and selling them out of my house.
You were arguably the originator of the no-makeup makeup look, you know, back then in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Why was that attractive to, say, someone like Estee Lauder Companies who eventually acquired you?
Well, I'm not sure if it was attractive to Estee Lauder Companies, the nude makeup look, the no-makeup look. It was really my style, and it's what I got hired for. It's what the magazines and the fashion shows would hire me for. And then when I started the line, I sold it out of my house, and then my first store was Bergdorf Goodman. And I would say in the about a year, I became the number one line in Bergdorf Goodman and Neiman Marcus. That's when it became attractive to Estee Lauder, not because of the look, but because it was doing so well.
What was it like back then when you think about the rest of the market? You know, that you were there were no options for blendable makeup. There were no options for a natural look, but that women, affluent women at Bergdorf and Neiman Marcus, wanted that product.
Well, I think that when I started, you know, the company after lipsticks, we had pencils and eventually foundations. What women really wanted was a way to that normal women could just look better. That's what it was. No one knew what nude makeup was back then. I didn't know that I was one of the creators of nude makeup. No one knew what that meant. And natural makeup just meant it's colors that are right for your skin. But during my journey, while I was a makeup artist for magazines, so I got to talk about what my philosophy was, I was a working mom. I got to talk about, you know, women and where do you put your makeup on the bus, in the back of a car, you know, where do you do it? How do you quickly go from day to evening? And that was something that no one really did back then. It was all very, you know, glamorous and, oh my God, this is fabulous, fantastic. Guess what? Women, working women, regular women wanted things that just made them look better.
How did you hold on to that for, you know, your 25 years with the company? You know, you saw women and trends come and go, ebb and flow. And today, so many women are, and other brands are trying to latch on to that same working woman, real woman story. So were you seeing?
Well, for me, it's really easy to know what looks good and what doesn't. So when something doesn't look good, I never wanted to put my name on it. And I am someone that likes to reinvent things. It's basically the same basic things, but it's just a little more interesting. My role model was always Ralph Lauren. No matter what season it was, the clothes still look like Ralph Lauren. So, you know, when it came to makeup, I did the fashion shows. I got to create the trends. You know, I'd do the makeup with the designer, and then the editors would come in and say, what's the makeup for the season? And I would just on the spot say, it's about whatever it's about. But I'd say, that's for the runway, and this is how you do it for real life. I would translate it. So that kind of became the thing back then.
When you left Estee Lauder Companies and, you know, your namesake brand, what was the reasoning behind that? It had been 25 years. It had become a billion-dollar brand. Why leave when you're on top?
Well, I was an employee of Estee Lauder for 22 years. We sold the company after 4 years, and I was an employee. I was so happy for so many years. And, you know, things change. Companies grow. New people come in. There's more. There's certainly more at stake. I'm so fortunate that I had this opportunity to really be part of a brand that grew to $1 billion. But as you can imagine, someone that is a founder, someone that knows exactly what they want to do, and you realize after a certain point, guess what? I'm not the boss anymore. For the first 18 to 20 years, I was the boss. I really did believe that I set the tone, I hired people. And all of a sudden, things changed. And when I realized that I am not doing what I believe in, it was time for me to be the boss again. I'm an entrepreneur. I like to do things my way. And, you know, when you're part of a big brand, you don't always get that. And it was just time.
How much do you think that dealt with the overall changes in the beauty industry? You know, that people weren't shopping at department stores anymore. This push to direct-to-consumer was happening. You know, there were larger changes in the market at play. How much of that played into, you know, your departure or what ELC wanted to do with Bobbi Brown in 2016?
Well, look, I knew things were changing. I became the beauty editor at Yahoo. They came to me and asked me to create a digital magazine, which was amazing for someone that doesn't know how to type. But I'm like, sure, I'd love to do it. So which I learned so much, and I knew how things were shifting and changing. I also am someone that, you know, I spend too much time on Instagram, too much time on social media. I knew exactly what was happening. It's not so easy to change things when you are part of a really big ship. So I might have wanted to change things, try different things, and it just wasn't, you know, the same direction that the corporation wanted it. So nothing's ever easy, by the way. Even when, you know, things are great, it's hard work. And you have to always remain fresh and open ideas, try new things. And, you know, I got tired of fighting.
When you left, did you feel a little bit like an empty nester?
It was the most bizarre thing because when I left, I had no clue what I was going to do. I'll never forget going home or going down in the elevator, and all of a sudden, all of my stress went away. Like literally all the things I was concerned about and upset about, because when you're a founder and you're a businesswoman, I'm sorry, you are focused and you are almost obsessed about the details, certainly if you're a founder. And all of a sudden, all the things I wanted to fix that were driving me crazy, and I was probably driving everyone crazy because I wanted things differently, it just went away. And so I didn't really have a clue what I was going to do. I did not know a thing. And honestly, I am so incredibly lucky and fortunate that I had the experience of being part of this big corporation. But to be able to be a startup again at 60 years old, honestly, best thing that ever happened to me.
So talk to us a little bit about Beauty Evolution and the various components of that, which includes JustBobby.com and obviously Evolution 18. Walk us through a little bit of that.
So when I left the brand, the first thing I had was my ninth book called Beauty from the Inside Out. I hadn't yet promoted it, so that was the first thing I did. And the biggest change for me is, you know, where I used to promote my books with an entire PR team, with a team of hairdressers and cars and stylists, I literally promoted the book with me and one other girl. I wore sneakers, I wore jeans, I traveled, I did my own thing, I took Ubers, I wore my hair in a ponytail. It was a completely different experience, and that kind of set the tone for my next, you know, the rest of my career. And so promoting beauty from the inside out was where I was at the time, and I still am. It's about what you put in your body. There's no creams that's going to make you this, you know, miracle healthy person. You have to eat healthy. So luckily I had that. And then I had an opportunity to create these curated Just Bobby shops at Lord & Taylor. I did that for a year. And then I had an opportunity to create this wellness brand, Evolution 18, which I did first through QVC, then direct to consumer. And then Walmart came to me and said, what would you do for us? And that's when I created the brand that's now with Walmart. And by the way, I was so excited, you know, to get into Walmart. Never in a million years did I realize that they wanted to launch me in the beauty department. And I thought that makes total sense. Beauty from the inside out. So we are in Walmart. We are opening a bunch of other stores. And our direct-to-consumer is flying.
When you think about that piece of, you know, beauty content and commerce, which is so big in the industry right now, as well as beauty and wellness, those are two really synergistic things that are happening in beauty overall. How are you guys approaching, you know, a tailored and customized point of view in both of those regards?
Well, just like when I was at the brand, I would create palettes taking into consideration all the different women, ages, skin, all different things, and I would simplify it because it was a really complicated industry, the beauty industry. It still is. Now with all the content and, you know, all the different things on the market, it's overwhelming for me to go into, you know, some of these wellness stores and see all these powders and things. I wanted to create a cool-looking brand. I wanted it simple. A beauty gummy. My favorite product, D-Bloat. You mix it in water, and guess what? When you feel bloated, you take D-Bloat. Like, I wanted to do simple things. So I kind of approached it the same way, and I am someone that has always been, you know, I have three kids. I've always commuted. Busy working mom. I know what women want. I understand. And so I was able to create a product that I think not just women, men want it too. But I also understand that how women get their information now is learning things. You know, it's exploring on Instagram. It's reading the digital magazines. It's listening to podcasts. So as someone that likes to teach as much as I like to learn, it's kind of been incredibly interesting and fun for me.
Parts of the wellness industry, and also especially the supplement and ingestible industry, has gotten a bad rap. You know, there's sexual wellness brands that kind of may not fit in the wellness category. There's pharmaceuticals that are trying to do that as well. How are you kind of creating a more transparent and authoritative approach when everybody is trying to be wellness and is anything wellness?
Well, first of all, everything on the box will tell you exactly what it's for and will tell you the ingredients. And I'm someone that I went back to school and got my degree as a health coach. I'm a total health fanatic. I like things real that come out of the earth. So the products are as clean as you could possibly think. And that's really important to me. They're also, which I'm really proud of, we've been able to have an affordable price point to them. And I think that's something that really means a lot to me. You know, I'm really lucky because there's been, certainly after all my years in the industry, people know I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm authentic. I tell the truth. And I think that I've built up a reputation of trust. You know, I was on the Today Show for 15 years as the beauty editor. I never sold my products, never talked about my line. I just taught people how to do things. And that platform for me has always been really important.
30 years ago, you know, people may have looked down on, say, what Walmart's beauty offering was or Walmart's beauty and wellness offering was compared to a Bergdorf or you know, a Neiman Marcus. Why is that attractive to you and so attractive to you now?
I think it's so amazing and cool because, first of all, I did the whole Bergdorf thing where we certainly would have all my personal appearances and all the, I would train the artists and they would teach women sell products, but it was always like, how much did they buy? How much did they buy? How much did they buy? How much was that sale? And when you go to Walmart and you see all these people that are shopping there that don't have the luxury of health coaches and all these things, it was amazing. Like, my heart just was open and it was like, okay, I'm here to teach. I'm here to empower. And there's no supplement that's going to change your health. But for me, it's a platform to help teach people how to live their lives better. So having both sides, it's amazing. And Walmart has been an amazing, amazing partner, you know, really caring about the brand, caring about their customer, and it's been a great experience. Bergdorf cares about the brand and the customers too, but it was a very different thing.
So how do you teach that customer who may not have those eventing activations or may not be have the time to be on Instagram all day because they are a working mother of four in Texas?
Right. Well, first of all, when I did the personal appearance, we didn't sell my books. We gave them away. So the first 25 or 50 people that came in got a book. And basically, I would just say to each person, if you could just learn one tip, I'm not asking you to change your life drastically. If you could just do one thing, whether it's get rid of your soda for water, eat more fruit instead of junk in the afternoon, you're going to feel better. You're going to have more energy for work, for your kids, for your family. And how you get the message out there for me is the same as I always did, whether I'm on TV or a podcast or certainly on our content. We give as much education and teaching and training as we do selling products. We give actually way more of the content. And for someone that worked at Yahoo, and I've always been the person that does makeup on all the ads when I was at Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, I love creating content. I love interviewing people. I have a podcast, and I just find, you know, people interesting, and I find that I have a lot to teach them.
When it comes to content, especially on, you know, platforms like Instagram or, say, even TikTok, which is kind of the current preoccupation of the moment, how do you kind of create that content with something like supplements and ingestibles, which are inherently not as sexy as, say, you know, a lipstick or not as easy to see a before and after? What are you guys doing to approach that?
Well, for me, I am someone that likes to eat and I like things that are delicious. So yes, we have supplements, Beauty Grow for hair, Beauty Glow for skin. We have chocolate, we have vanilla, we have collagen, we have things that taste good. So I've hired these amazing chefs that are basically digital chefs that create content and make recipes, you know, whether it's cookies or puddings or coffees. And I do the recipes and I give the recipes to the people, you know, who are looking at the content. And I'm sorry, I'd much rather have a delicious chocolate smoothie than have, you know, a contour palette.
Bobbi, Jody from Walmart mentioned to me that, you know, they are really building out their ingestible category with you as the focus and, you know, with your brand as the focus. Another thing she mentioned to me, though, was that clean beauty is also having a moment at Walmart. Is there plans down the road to kind of marry those two worlds together? You know, skincare, which is something that you have not done as much of as color in the past with something like your wellness offering?
Well, certainly. Personally, I clean my house with clean ingredients. I don't use chemicals in my house anymore. My shampoos, the makeup I use, the skincare is all clean. I've completely changed. And I do it because I love it and I believe in it. It makes me feel good. You know, I don't have a beauty brand at the moment. I am certainly not. I'll never say never. But right now, you know, I've got the wellness brand, and for me to really teach and empower people how to live a healthier life is kind of where I'm at. I'm also back in the studio being a makeup artist, which is really fun. I've done a whole bunch of things. I got to go to India as the keynote speaker of the first ever Indian makeup show. Like, that was so fun for me. So I'm really lucky that I'm doing a lot of things I love to teach and empower people and have fun while I'm doing it.
Bobbi, circle back with me about not being a founder right now. What is it like looking at the current Bobbi Brown business, looking at those ads, understanding what's going on? How does it feel?
Well, certainly things have changed. You know, the company is definitely not visually the same company it was when I was there, and that's okay. I mean, I think that the interesting thing for me right now is that I can kind of go in the direction with my new brand and no one says, no, you can't do that. No, that's not the right thing. And the other brand, I mean, truthfully, I unfollowed. I still see things. They pop in. I don't go to department stores anymore. I don't see a ton. And a lot of the people that I used to work with are not at the brand anymore. I wish them well. I want it to succeed. But it's definitely not the brand that it would have been if I was still there.
How do you play that with so many of the brands today, especially the buzzy brands today, are founder-led brands? You know, whether it's Tiffany at Drunk Elephant or, you know, Vicky at Tatcha, these are brands that have major acquisition dollars, you know, and major acquisition eyes, whether they've been acquired or not. But so much of their story is about them. How does that work with for Bobby Brown when Bobby Brown isn't there anymore?
Well, everybody has their own story. I mean, honestly, people still can't believe that I stayed 22 years as an employee. A lot of people didn't know that I didn't own the company anymore. They just assumed I still owned it. So, look, everyone has their own journey and their own story to tell. And you could imagine the phone calls I get from other founders that are thinking of selling and asking my advice. And my advice is always, your story is different than everyone else's. Figure out what you want, but know that when you sell the brand, it's not going to be the same, especially in this day and age. I mean, my growth was not as quick probably as some of the other brands because we didn't have social media. It wasn't a digital play back then. So everyone has a different story, and you never know how long you're going to stay with the brand. And a lot of founders sell their brand and stay for a couple months, a year. Not every founder stays for a long time.
If you think about Beauty Evolution and perhaps the opportunity for that brand to sell, is it something that you would explore in today's market?
I'm open, and I've been approached already by, you know, VCs that want to come in and invest in it, to grow it, to sell it. I don't really want to do that route because, look, I've worked for a long time with a lot of people saying, no, you can't do this, or pressuring me for different things. I'm really having fun being in charge and just being a little organic and just trying new things. So that's not where I am right now. I will never say never, but I could also see Evolution 18 at some point, you know, being part of another company. It's not me, Evolution 18. It's not based on my name. And I could see someone else eventually, you know, helping to grow it while I'm just a consultant and, you know, and not in the day-to-day, because there's so many other things I'm interested in. You know, another thing that I did is I have a hotel in Montclair, and that's been really fun. So I love doing a lot of different things, and being an entrepreneur and being a founder, it just means I like to try new things that I have no idea how to do. And so I'm open to other opportunities.
Bobby, one thing that's obviously newer and more of at the forefront of Evolution 18 is the digital strategy. You know, obviously you saw that come to market and come to life with Bobby Brown, but, you know, being digital first and then obviously the QVC play when you first launched, what was that like? How different was that in acquiring customers than, say, you would at a Neiman Marcus?
Right. Well, probably the thing that made the biggest growth in Bobby Brown Cosmetics was Jeff Zucker's grandmother, who got me on the Today Show as a regular. So you can imagine, once a month for 14 years, I was the beauty editor of the Today Show, where I had a platform, 5-7 million people, I don't even know how many, where I taught makeup. And then they would run to the counters. I'd be on Oprah 2 to 4 times a year, and we would sell out of everything. Now I'm the beauty editor of Elvis Duran. You know, now I have the podcast. Now I go on other people's podcasts. That's how you're getting information out. So there's other ways, you know, to get information out. The trick is to educate the consumer so they know what your point of difference is, and really teach them, because there is so much noise out there. And I think so many people try to stand out and above and be noticed. I kind of do the opposite. I kind of just stick to what I believe in, be authentic, and just really be real. And I think that that always wins in the end.
When you think about the storytelling piece, you know, QVC obviously has been very successful for a lot of brands, you know, Tatcha being one of them, you know, being able to be on air and tell your story. Why or why not was that the right play for you guys in the long run?
Well, I went on QVC at Bobbi Brown Cosmetics at a time where everyone said, you are crazy. I mean, corporate said no. Everyone said, this is insane. And I thought, it's an hour for I could be on TV and teach women. And yes, we're selling. And I somehow justified it because we convinced QVC to give $25,000 to Dress for Success every hour I was on. So it was a win-win for everyone. And, you know, for the makeup world, we killed it. It was amazing. We used to always say we do more in an hour at QVC than we did at Barney's in a whole year. Amazing. And then I launched Evolution 18 at QVC, and it was good. It wasn't as gangbusters. And I also realized I really didn't want to be on TV selling things. I would rather be on TV teaching, but not selling. So we exited QVC and opened up a direct-to-consumer. And QVC's great. I just didn't want to be the one that was always on the air selling something.
With Just Bobbi and obviously Evolution 18's.com business, how much of you is on there, you know, in terms of video, in terms of a tutorial? Because these sites, they're 24/7. Right. You have to be feeding them content, whether it's you or not, all the time.
I have no, there's so much content in my life that we have both either from, you know, in my library. I have one of the most organized content library. I hired this amazing girl, Juddy, please come back from the UK, who organized my entire content library. So if we need to find a certain picture from a certain shoot in a certain day, we get it. So it's been incredible. Everyone thought I was nuts. But you know what? All of these things, whether it's doing makeup on a model and talking to her about what she does, or it's making a smoothie with someone, or Chef Carla makes a smoothie, all of these things are just content to share out there. You know, I've done Facebook Live. I've done so many different things. There's a lot of content. And I think it's really important. It's me. It's also food is the star, and ingredients are the star. And I love being behind the scenes more than I like being in front of the camera. I'm really a frustrated graphic designer and art director. So I also have a photo studio in Montclair right across the street from my office that is for rent. The Food Network shoots out of there. When they're not there, we use it and we create content. And, you know, it's to me, it's a no-brainer. And by the way, I don't play golf. I don't play tennis. Bridge will be the last thing I ever do. So what I do for fun and relaxation is create new companies and really shoot content.
Some brands find that the content piece very overwhelming, which is why, you know, I think the rise of influencers directly correlates to that. You know, this is why they get to outsource, you know, that content to, you know, whoever's hot at the moment. What's your take on influencers and content creators in that regard?
I really believe in authenticity, and we've never paid at my new brand anyone to promote anything. We call them FOBs, which are friend of Bobbi's. And, you know, my friends kind of shout me out when I need something and I ask them to. We send out, you know, these cool little boxes that people, you know, will put up, they won't put up. And so we don't, you know, we will spend the money on the product giving away, but no, we don't, and I don't believe that it's necessarily worth paying influencers. I also really am not in a rush. I'm someone that really likes to build a brand. To me, building a brand is not just the quick, oh my God, she posted this and, you know, blah, 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 look at how much we sold. That's always fun and exciting, but it's really about building a brand and getting people to understand and come back to buy things because they love the product, not because someone said it's so fabulous. You know, I mean, my friends are influencers. Hannah Bronfman. I mean, so many people with big followings, you know. Yes, people will go buy when Hannah Bronfman says she loves something, but I also think they'll really buy for their mother, their sister, their office mate when they fall in love with it and they've bought it themselves. Old-fashioned, I know.
Last question, Bobbi. You know, on that same note, when you think about the amount of product that is currently in the beauty world and wellness world, there's so much. We're flooded with it. You know, we obviously there's a sustainability issue with that in that regard. But What's your take on product launches now? Because, you know, obviously you had at the peak when you were at Bobbi Brown, hundreds of SKUs, hundreds of palettes, hundreds of lipsticks. How are you approaching that more measured now?
Well, I think certainly the beauty industry has exploded from, you know, the new Lady Gaga to the Rihanna to all these, you know, amazing women that I am, by the way, so proud that all these women can be entrepreneurs. I find it certainly empowering for women to be able to just have a brand. Everyone has a different agenda. I think there's too much out there, and I think most of the stuff out there is just too complicated for people to go through that I think, you know, there has to be someone that is able to simplify it for people, because basically with all the things we're constantly seeing on social media, and I still watch television, you know, read the magazines when I get my nails done, it's overwhelming. And so, yes, I think there's got to be a way to simplify and organize your life. And that includes what you wear, it includes your makeup, it includes your wellness products.
So no major product launches coming up soon?
There is not one coming up soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Bobbi. It was great having you.
Thank you for having me.